Hello and welcome to another episode of the Talk Nintendo Podcast, episode 331. And I am your host, Jerry Gibbons, and I am joined by none other than the Bostonian policeman, Balx Bulafi.
Local sick boy. Alex Kalafi. No, I'm back. I'm feeling better than ever.
You're back, and, baby. Get it?
And I'm ready.
You should have said, I'm back, baby.
I'm back, baby, but baby is capital B.
So he had the corona, and so you're going to hear some random coughs from him this week that he's not going to edit out.
No, I probably won't, especially if they end up being particularly silly. No, I'm back. I'm looking forward to a show. Let's aim to make it even shorter this time. I'm thinking like 38 minutes, maybe 34.
I'd love it. Well, we have a lot on the docket today, so we'll see. But I'd love it because it would really trim it down to some good podcasting. We trim in the fat. Although, you know what? I don't like that term trimming the fat because the fat is what gives it the flavor. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I would say that with Casey gone this week, we're absolutely trimming the fat from this show.
No, that would be me if I was gone. We'd be trimming the fat. We're trimming the, let's see, he's the bone. We're trimming the bone.
He's the marrow.
He's the bonehead. Yeah, he's the marrow. That's funny. Anyway, Casey's not here. That's what we're trying to say.
No, it's you. You would be the he would be like the cow ears that you get from Petco.
Okay,
that's what he would be.
Like if we're the, like, collectively, me, you, and Casey are a cow, right? So he's the ears that you get, and I'm the meat and the fat. And Alex is the brains and the lungs,
yeah,
and the hooves for the dog. Oh my goodness!
Oh man, I'm just pulling those out today.
Wow!
For coughs, for comedic.
Do you know how
effect.
Many people like legit just got upset, like legitimately, like turned us off because of that? Probably a few.
I mean, I did have the COVID, and my cough is legitimate. Although I am I'm doing a little extra one for.
I'm looking at the audio file right now. It doesn't look legit. It looks fake. Like you tried to do that.
Oh no, I did, but I didn't. I have to try way less hard than usual.
So you're saying it was legitimately fake? No, it was.
It was legitimately fake. Yeah, no, okay. that's a gotcha. Good way of phrasing it.
Anyway, let's get. Talking about some stuff. So what we're gonna do is we postponed the Jimmy Awards this because Casey couldn't be here because he's sick. He has a big, huge headache, and Justin Nation, you know, he's always cool, so he was fine with skipping this week and do it next week. And we're actually gonna do the nominations this week because I completely forgot to put the polls up, and so. Anyway, just know that's going to happen.
Yep.
That's going to be great. So we'll do that probably the latter half of the show, and we'll talk about games first. And I got a couple of games to talk about. And since you just got one?
One-ish. I might just talk for a few minutes.
All right, so let's sandwich them. I'll start off with one. And this is a review code game, and it's a really cool game called Never Awake. Yes. Never Awake. Have you heard of this game?
Nope. Although I'll say you have a penchant for getting games that are like very positive on Steam or overwhelmingly positive on Steam with very few reviews. Like a lot of these indie games you pull up are very much like let's say, undiscovered gems, I would say.
Okay, cool, good. I would classify this game as that, a very fun surprise. This is a twin stick shooter. It's reminiscent of that crazy witch shooter game, that Japanese that I'm going to pull up on my Switch right now that I talked about not too long ago. You know that wow, it's down there. Maybe it was a long time ago. Hold on. Not that far back. What is that one called?
Which one?
It's the shooter, the Japanese shooter. It's been around for decades.
Cotton?
Yes, Cotton. Okay. Yes, thank you. It's kind of like that in a way. Cotton Fantasy is what I was talking about. This is like that in a way. You're this kind of this girl with a some sort of a gun or this, like you can shoot stuff. And what's cool is that it's you're kind of a big character on the screen, so the character's a little bigger than normal, like from these shooters, so it's a little bit more intimate and a little more simple. Like it's not like you always have like 100 enemies on the screen at once. It's kind of a little bit more intentional, like planned stuff. It's more simple, and I love it. They made a lot of really cool design decisions in this game that I just love. But it's level based. You're playing as this girl. You don't know what's going on. The art style is really neat. It kind of has this cool flat, kind of like a, almost like a
puppet.
Like a puppet, like you know, like Flipping Death, Stick It to the Man, that
like
developer.
Marionette style animation.
Yeah, but it hints on that Tim Burton-y, you know, like
sure
that dark side,
dark fantasy.
Yeah, and it's cool, and then it's also like kind of like on like a more happy, kind of cool animation as well. It's weird. It's a cool mishmash, but it comes together really well. So I don't want to spoil anything, but I will say that I'm not a big story guy. There's not a really big story here. There are little narrative bits in between that you can read that you're kind of like, okay, like that kind of didn't make any sense. What is this talking about? And you get, as you play, it's like, I see what's going on. I see what's happening here, and it's really neat. But I'm not going to say anything about it. I just will say that's great. Now, the cool thing about the levels, now they're a little different than normal. It's not just kind of make it to the end. It's gather enough souls. So you shoot an enemy, and a soul drops out, and you got to collect it. And so, like, you know, it'll be like a percentage wise. Like you collect, sometimes, you know, you collect one, you got 1%. So yeah, collect 100 of them. But sometimes it's like I collect one, and it's 0.2%. So I got to collect 500. You know, whatever. And the cool thing, I just think it's so fun because you go on loops. So it's not endless. It's once you get to the end, you'll start a new loop. Now, it's you don't notice it. It's seamless, but it'll be like loop two. It's like, okay, so you're going back around. And it's cool. You're like, if you would have played that really well, I bet you could have got it all in the first loop. But you didn't. You missed one, or you dodged it, or you chickened out. You balanced out. So you go around again and do it, which I think is a really neat. I've never played a shooter like that. I don't think. I mean, I don't remember one where you play it in loops until you get the goal. And then there's this constant, really cool upgrade system in the game that is really simple. As in, like, it kind of just always benefits you. You can choose different specials to use. Like the first one you get is like a circle that shoots like circle bolt, like bullets from every angle outside of you, like one bullet. I ended up getting one that's more of a shotgun. That shoots it like a more, so you aim it, you actually aim it towards an area and shoot it. And over time, like at beginning, I think I could shoot like six of them, and like through like the second world, I could shoot like 12 of them, and then it recharges over time. You can get power ups that buff you, like, hey, the more souls you get, it'll recharge your special faster. Or here, that'll update your, it'll strengthen your magnet so that souls get sucked to you easier from you know, it'll make your natural bolt stronger. Just the very simple upgrades, nothing mind-bending, but it's definitely where you feel the impact immediately, and it's awesome. Like, I'm shooting twice as fast. I don't know if it has that, but it definitely has the you feel like you're shooting twice as fast because you're doing twice as much damage, and enemies, all of them have a, you know, have like a little life bar and they go down really fast. And it's just a really, it's a really simple game, and it's a really, it's in a very sleek package. Runs 60 frames fantastic on the Switch. Runs perfectly. Highly recommend the Switch port. There's a cool world, you know, level select. I mean, like where it's a cool package, right? It's like, you know, you're going in, it's very well done. There's really cool polygonal art mixed in with 2D art. The music's awesome. It's a really fun surprise of a game. The only thing is that I think that the negatives, and I would, you know, if you have to call them a con or whatever, it's just the natural things that come with twin stick shooters. You know, I think that it does this game just as well as if you like twin stick shooters, you're going to like this game. But like, I think there's a natural fatigue you can get from your thumbs from always holding a thing in one direction or moving it all the time. But it's not bad. It's not any worse than it's still fine. You know, some games are shoot 'em ups that you are playing in one direction, and you know, if you just hold A, it'll shoot. It doesn't have that. You kind of have to hold the analog stick out. Whatever. You know, I mean, again, it's nothing new, and it's a problem that I think everything has, if that is indeed a problem for people. Something interesting, though, is you can choose.
Now, do you mean it's repetitive from a design perspective, or just like your tendons are kind of feeling it a little bit?
No, just like you have to always hold your right analog stick in a position, and it's just kind of like, that's not as comfortable as resting my hand on a button or my finger on a button.
So you're saying you're old.
I'm very old. In fact, I was just talking to Jules today about how I have to trim my ear hair now. I'm trying to say.
I was joking a little bit, but no, I know what you're saying. Like if I'm playing like a crazy action game, like Bayonetta is kind of a good example. I had this worse with No More Heroes a couple years ago, I guess now. But like my thumbs, like the tendons next to my thumbs, if I have to mash a button over and over again as part of a combat system, and if it's not the most comfortable controller in the world, which the Joy-Cons fundamentally are not, it ends up like I end up needing to like do stretches and stuff,
yep,
like
exactly.
in my thumbs to, and it's just I'm old now.
I do want to say though is that something I forgot to get is the levels are perfect bite sized levels, and I love that. I think it's what I've always wanted in a shooter, where it's like, why are these levels so long and so punishing? This game is not long and not punishing. Now it does get tough. You know, mm-hmm. It gets tough to the point where I need to go upgrade my stuff and come back in and do this, and then it works and it feels great. But it's like finally like a level based shoot 'em up that is fun to play, that has really cool art, and in bite sized segments, very sleek, tight game design, wonderful menu UI. Nothing I really bad have to say besides like that. You know, I mean, it's just besides that, something that could be a problem for anyone. But anyway, I would Never Awake. Really cool. I don't know how much it is. Do you know how much it is? Because
on Steam, it's 20.
Okay. All right. So it's probably 20. Yep. I haven't heard anything about this, but it's a really cool game. And it has a pretty cool, if you like shoot 'em ups, I think you like this game. A very high production quality. Very good job. So check it out.
Very nice. Actually, on Switch, it's a different price. It is $21.24, 15% off discount from a $25 MSRP at the moment.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
So there you go.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Cause it's funny. Cause I went in thinking like, just because I didn't know anything. I don't know what to think, but I for some reason I think it was like a $12.99 game, and I was like, whoa, this game is huge. So $25 makes a lot more sense. So,
sure.
Still really cool game. Really cool game. Check it out.
Looks really cool. Yep. I think mine's just sort of going to be some quick bites, but because I think the main thing I'm going to talk about is the first Final Fantasy game, we'll put some Final Fantasy music here. Final Fantasy!
Chocobo.
Chocobo. Yeah, I think I'm just going to use this segment to talk about the various things I played over break, because it'll just be a few seconds about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, because, you know, you've been gone a week, so you've played 17 games.
I've
start to finish.
It's been, I had holiday break, and I was sick, meaning that there was a lot of extra video game time. But believe it or not, like, I was doing a lot of, like, anime, watching shows, hanging out. Like, I've been in a very, like, well, I can't really say I've been in a not game playing mood, but I've been in a mood to do other things than game at some points lately. But I did play a bunch of stuff anyways. So I just have a mental list here. I played Mario Strikers Battle League.
Oh, yeah. Casey talked about that last week.
I agree with basically everything he said. I listened to at least, I think I listened to
at
all.
Listened to at least 20 seconds.
At least 20, at most 30. I think I agree with what he said, where the mechanics are solid, a lot of good style there. Definitely very light in the content department, which means I recommend getting it as a gift from your friend Perry, if you're going to get it.
It's a good gift game, right? Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. That's why I got it.
Yeah, it would be like exactly where like Pikmin 3 Deluxe or like the Captain Toad on Switch. It's like the kind of thing that like you might not necessarily be under the impression that you've bought it previously on one of the other systems.
Okay.
Maybe Yoshi's Crafted World or Fire Emblem Three Hopes, which I also played.
What? Those are like some of the best games on the Switch. I don't know.
Three Hopes. That's the new one. That's the Dynasty Warriors.
There we go. Now we're talking. Yes,
like
Dynasty Warriors.
Age of Calamity.
Yes.
Is a game that you want as a gift game.
That's exactly a gift game. Best gift game. By the way, that needs to be a Jimmy.
best gift game. Yes. The kind of thing that like it's like you kind of know it's a 7 out of 10 going in.
I love
but it's
it.
A 7 out of 10 you want to play. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with what he was saying, where it's like it's good, but it's like pretty light. Definitely, like, I think if you had people to play with regularly, it would definitely be the thing. And you said you're going to probably get it next time it goes on sale.
Yes, I will. Although I have an announcement to make. I was going to make this with Casey, but he's not here. I think I'm going all digital.
Forever?
I really think so. Because the last straw was I can't find my Mario Party games. You know, and my friends came over and I was like, where the heck? And you know what? Now that I have kids and stuff, and if it could just be gone. I mean, I don't know. And they could be picked up and moved. And I was like, you know what? And ironically, I bought Kirby digital because I was like, you know what? I'm buying it digital because it's a game I think I'm going to want to jump in and play just a level of at time to time. It'll feel good. And funnily enough, one of my good friends, he has my account on his Switch. And so he could download it and he could actually borrow it and play it on his account, which is really funny. So it's like you can still kind of let people borrow your games too and play them. So anyway, I think I'll pick it up. That still might be a game that I get physically if I can find, because I don't think it's going to go on a good sale. You know, maybe if it's at $41.99 sale, maybe I'll buy it, but who knows?
I feel like you'll get it cheaper sooner.
Yeah. Well, it's already been offered for 35. I mean, I got yours for $35, so it's like,
yep. I ended up playing Fire Emblem Three Hopes, which is the new Dynasty Warriors sort of Fire Emblem Three Houses game. I did play the demo way back when, but I played it for like a couple hours and sort of dropped it. It ended up, I've played like 7 hours of it. It definitely opens up after you get past the demo, because the demo is just like long Fire Emblem Three Houses cutscenes with some Dynasty Warriors next to it. But after you get to like chapter 4 and the story opens up, it sort of gets like a Age of Calamity type situation where you're like on a war map with like, I think it's kind of like chess pieces, and you're choosing like if you want to do a side battle or if you want to do the main chapter, but you have to beat this number of side battles first. And then there's like little random events, almost like Monopoly chance cards, where it's like you went to the village and you got these supplies type deal, also scattered. And then There's also your base, which you unlock around chapter 4, where you can just, you can train folks and you can sort of talk to them and sort of boost your equipment. And I think it's like, there's something I really like about it and something I really dislike about it. The thing I really like is that compared to all the other Dynasty Warrior style Nintendo games that they've put out, this feels like even more than Age of Calamity, that it's really utilizing the mechanics of the game it belongs to, because there's the weapon triangle, which is utilized very well, which I think the original Fire Emblem Warriors did, but it also, it manages to, like, it has a very readable UI, so you're doing the Dynasty Warriors thing of sending your units around the map, but there's also, like, this person has axes, so you want to throw your sword guy there, or this person has a sword, so you want to throw your spear guy, and it's, there's a lot of quality of life upgrades that make you focus on just the action and just the Fire Emblem style fun. But the thing I dislike is that there's so much text in this game, and it's all Three Houses crap, because I think about all the time how I've played 200 hours of Three Houses.
You loved the Three Houses text crap, right?
I mean, I like the everything. Overall, I like the overall story of Three Houses, or I think I did, but I think about all the time how I played like well over 200 hours of Three Houses, but don't remember a thing. I did 4 routes in that game, and most people think there's only 3, but there's actually like 5 or 4. And I played the DLC, but I barely remember any of it. And I think the reason is there's a lot of like overwritten Game of Thrones crap and like inter-territory politics that really get in the way of the video game part of Fire Emblem. And the Fire Emblem gameplay in Three Houses is like some of the best it's ever been. And I love exploring the campus and talking to people, but it's just the whole game's so wordy, and Three Hopes is even worse in some respects, because that's an action game. And I was commenting on the Discord that like I sit down to play it for an hour, and about 20 of the minutes are actual gameplay, and the rest of it's just exploring the sort of the war camp and talking to people and watching cutscenes. And what Neil told me was just like, hey, just skip them, just skip the cutscenes.
Oh yeah.
I think that's what I actually want to do. I enjoy it overall. I want to play, I haven't played the game Casey got for me, Builders 2, yet, because I just beat Treasures and I need to space out my Dragon Quest a little bit before I play it again. I ended up beating Chained Echoes. That's an awesome game. You're going to hear more about it in the Game of the Year stuff, but I ended up wrapping it up. It starts as a Chrono Trigger type deal, but it evolves into a Xenoblade game, as if it came out on the Super Nintendo, like highly character driven, interesting blend of like fantasy and sci-fi, mechanical changes at like the 15 and 20 hour mark that really rethink how you think about the game. And it really just like overall, it sort of showed me how much room there is left to innovate in the 2D JRPG style game space. It's awesome, and I strongly recommend it to folks. Definitely a highlight of the year. The only thing I'll say about it is that you can tell that there was a small team who worked on it, because the writing, like the story's very strong, but there's a lot of translation issues, like a lot of strange grammar that feels kind of sloppy. Like it's like a character might say, I was mentioned it or something. Like there might be a verb tense that might be wrong, or just like a clunky sentence that it's like, oh, that's not how a person would say it. But, and also some story scenes that like try to convey very serious topics with that should be treated subtly with like sort of the subtlety of a sledgehammer. So it's like, your heart's in the right place, but this is kind of clumsy at times. But it's like it's small potatoes. Really great game. I'm trying to think if there's, oh yeah, and then Final Fantasy 1, the music I played at the front of this. I don't know why. You ever just wake up one morning and you're like, this is the game I need to play right now. And I don't know why, but this is the game I have to play right now.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
And it's the most random game.
I get that with Super Mario Land 2 sometimes. Like, I need to play that game right now.
It's Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins. Has the same thing that like Pokemon has, where there's something about the specific art and specific music that that game has that hits in a very specific way that no game released after it can really capture. And I don't know if it's a Game Boy thing. It might just be a Game Boy thing or a nostalgia thing.
The sound of that game is it's my favorite video game audio. I love that game. That and the music is so cool, the theme and everything. Oh, love it.
And the way it looks too, like there's a chunkiness to 6 golden coins that just it feels, you know, very weird, but it's like awesome.
And there's one level with one enemy that's like an evil Jason mask with a knife going through its eye.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
And then a boss battle against the three little pigs or something.
Yes. Dude, so good.
Yeah, no, that game's fantastic. I had that with two games over break. One was Spider-Man on PS4. I really wanted to play something HD, so I just picked up Spider-Man on PS4. And that game's fine. It's kind of a generic open-world game, except it's web-slinging mechanics, like just going across New York City, is more beautifully realized than most single game mechanics I've ever seen. Have you played this game before?
No.
Okay, you don't have a PS4, I'm guessing.
Correct.
Okay, Spider-Man PS4, great game for the web slinging. Anyways, Final Fantasy was one of the other games that I woke up and I'm like, I just need to play this for some reason. So I went on one of the Steam sales, because there's a bunch of different storefronts across the internet that sell like these games, and I got Final Fantasy 1's Pixel Remaster to play on my Steam Deck for, I think, like $6 or $7, like pretty cheap. And I had a really good time. I ended up beating it. The way that this thing works, and I've only played this one, so I can't speak for the other ones, is that it's Final Fantasy 1, like the NES game Final Fantasy, but it has some new art that makes it look a little closer to a Super Nintendo game, and sort of like and art that sort of like fills out, like if there was like, let's say if you were at a shop in the NES version and it was like a black screen, now there's like a modeled shop that, and like it's in 16:9, so it's like a full resolution, and there's some pretty good looking pixel art, but that's not even the main appeal to this. For me, it was that this is like one of the oldest JRPGs, which means that there's not a ton of story. You're really talking to NPCs, random NPCs, to get a lot of the story out of it. But it sort of one of the things about a lot of games from this era, specifically JRPGs, is that there's a ton of random encounters. Like so many, like every 5 or 6 steps, because there's not that much story to carry it. So it ends up being like a very combat focused thing. And what this does is it has an auto battle feature where if your characters are strong enough and they can just hammer away at the attack button and kill the enemies pretty easily, you just turn on auto battle with, like, I think it was X on Steam Deck, which would be Y on a Nintendo system, and it'll just take out the wild encounter with like a sped up battle in like a few seconds. And that made it way easier to grind, because instead of pressing attack, pressing magic, doing this, doing that, I mean, I could just wipe the floor with enemies and end up just moving on to the next story beat way faster. I guess the flip side of that is that it's a pretty easy game. Like, I didn't face any challenge really until I got to the final boss. But I mean, games that are that antiquated and you just want to understand for the historical context, I think it's a fine that's a fine solution to sort of make it so someone like me, who has a pretty low patience for like boredom in video games,
right,
or slow burns, let's say, it allowed me to sort of reach the credits. But I liked it. I quite liked Final Fantasy overall. It is a top-down game. You're sort of wandering around the map, sort of going from town to town. You end up getting a boat pretty quickly so you can explore the sea. Then you get a rowboat. But then, about sort of 4 or 5 hours in, I think the whole thing took me like 10 or 12 hours, you end up getting an airship that just lets you travel across the world super quickly. And there's a bunch of little stuff, little things to find around the map. So it's the kind of thing where it's like it's very antiquated, and I think it still is probably a little boring. People find it a little boring compared to, let's say, Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VI, like the Super Nintendo games that are just light years ahead of what this thing is doing, because it's very rudimentary. Just you battle enemies, you talk to NPCs, you fight a boss until it sort of falls, and then you leave a dungeon. Status effects that are really annoying, like you need to bring antidotes or poison's gonna wipe the floor with your team. But overall, it was cool to see this sort of old NES game in a much more playable light, and it makes me wish that other games like Pokemon Red and Blue, like if they had little features like this to minimize grinding. So, because like the original Pokemon games are pretty difficult to go back to. So if there was something that would just sort of let you blast through random encounters and grind folks out. So it's just like you can do the 16-hour Pokemon Red and let's say 10 or 8 just to sort of re-experience it. I think that would be pretty good. But no, I think the final...
That would be cool.
The Pixel remaster is cool. And I think when it comes out on Switch in a few months, I think there will be quite a lot to look forward to. Not counting its price point, which
you see how much it's gonna be $75.
That's how much it is on Steam. If you wait until the Steam sales, you can get all six of them for like $60 on like a couple storefronts, which is like a pretty fair deal for six upgraded games. But $75 is just oof. It's a tough sell. It's a tough sell, but. You know,
yeah, and like anyway, they were like limited physical pre-orders, like sold out instantly.
I was considering it a little bit because I'm like, this thing's gonna be worth money, but it absolutely will because
that's gonna be painful.
I don't think I could. Well, I didn't want it as bad as a lot of other people did, is I think the thing.
Right,
but it's a. It's a cool little thing. I wish it was a little less expensive. So there's a taste of everything I've been playing over the last week. So I'm quitting video games, as you can see.
All right.
I'm sorry. What's your other game?
So I just have a host of little quick bite type deals that you don't have to play music for. I've been playing through New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. In between stuff, I've been playing through 3D Super Mario 3D World as well. I had those downloaded digitally, and I have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe that I played the new courses. Pretty cool, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the same. I mean, Mario Kart 8, there's only so much I can play, really. I mean, it's without it being like a little boring, like it's just the same old stuff. I don't know what they can do to make the game really, you know, without adding like maybe new power ups would be cool. I don't know, but it's good. I'm enjoying it. It's so good, in fact, and on the OLED, it's unbelievable.
Let me ask you about how's New Super Mario Bros. U treating you?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's one of my favorite games. Yeah, I love it. It's playing, you know, it's a very interesting game. Like, I love the setup. I love the acorn suit. That's one of my favorite Mario power-ups. And it's fun just taking it, you know, like doing a couple levels and stuff and coming back. It's quite a different experience than, like, the Wii U, honestly. Like it being like totally handheld and at wherever, whenever I want it, it's really fun.
One of the rumors going around is that this year sort of won't be released with the Mario movie, but will be released this year, will be some kind of new 2D Mario game. And boy, oh boy,
That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be nice to have like a new 2D Mario game? I'm ready. Brand it new Super Mario Bros. Don't brand it new Super. I don't care. Just something.
No, yeah.
One of those. One of those interesting things.
Let's think about it. So this came out 10 years ago. Okay.
Thereabouts. Yeah. More.
Yeah. So think about it's about the same amount of time has passed since New Super Mario Bros. DS, since the new Super Mario Bros. Came out from the one before that. You know, it's almost the same amount in a weird way from an old. Well, if you like Yoshi's Island is a kind of like the that if you count Yoshi's Island in a way. But so it's been a long time since a new one. That's what I'm trying to say.
Didn't 2 come out that summer also?
To what?
New Super Mario Bros. 2 come out in 2012 also?
Yes, it did. Yep.
Whew.
Yeah,
that was a weird decision on their part. Great game, also.
I love. But. Yeah, I want to play through that game again. But I finished Sparks of Hope. My thoughts on that game are: I love the gameplay. I think the gameplay is enhanced in the game. I think the story was just, and I just couldn't care less. I skipped through everything. I don't like the characters. I wish there was more Mario stuff in there. I like the characters just fine. I don't like the Roomba, you know, the jokes were pretty funny when you could find them and stuff. But and the characters are just fine. But I think they should have leaned way more on Mario stuff, which is way more interesting because those sections were awesome. The Wiggler battle was awesome. You know, all those things are standout. But the new characters just nah.
The rabbit stuff
is just meh to me.
That's kind of where I landed too. I was very open to more rabbit stuff because I thought they knocked it out of the park with the first game. I thought the new gameplay stuff was great. And I think there was nothing even particularly wrong with any of the writing, but it felt like all the funny Mario stuff from the first game was just gone. And I don't know if they if Nintendo put the leash on them more.
Too. Yeah.
But it was very strange that it just felt like that. It felt way more Ubisoft than Nintendo this time around.
It did, which is fine. And it was an awesome game, and I really liked it. And you'll hear about it next week.
Sure.
But I think the gameplay is better than the first game. I think it's refined, and I think it's, even though it's very similar, I love the first game as well. But yeah, fun game. And then my last little quick bite here is Mom Hid My Game. That's a game I got a free download code. A lot of people did because Amazon Prime gave it away for free for your Switch. So that was cool. So I downloaded it. Oh. I've always wanted to get it. I think it's like a $3 game or something. But and it's very WarioWare inspired game where you just have to do these funny little things. Throws your expectations off all the time about what you're supposed to do to get the game. And it gets super, super WarioWare wacky. And I love it. I love that idea, like where there's an elephant and you have to feed it to poop out the game system. You know, like it's that wacky, you know, it gets really, really funny. Or like there's like an old guy sitting on the floor and you have to give him some tea, make him some tea so that he gets up and goes to the bathroom and he's sitting on the game system. You know, like it's funny, really funny stuff. It's kind of janky. It doesn't run really well. But it has that simplicity, you know, that minimalist style, like a WarioWare Rhythm Heaven type style. Really fun. I don't know if I'd say really fun. I'd say really funny. Not super fun. I mean, I kind of got after like half hour, I was kind of like, okay, I get it, you know, and I didn't really finish it. I probably won't go back to it, but it was fun for half hour. Good half hour.
The developer of this Hap Inc. I've played a lot of their stuff on like iOS. They publish a lot of their stuff on iPad, and it's all stuff like this. I think there's like 3 or 4 of these like Mom Hid My Game titles, but then there's a bunch of other random ones too, which are like one really good joke stretched out over, let's say, 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
I really like their sense of humor. This is a really good time. I think it's like the what's the politeness game that we bring up all the time?
Yeah, I forget the name.
It's a similar deal.
I think this is better than that game.
That one's pretty good too. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're both good. Yeah.
But it's like a very Japanese game that has one or two really good jokes in it. And yeah. That's sort of stretched out, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I say we take a quick little break, and when we come back, it's the Jimmy nominations. Back on the Talk Nintendo podcast, I am your host Jerry, joined by Balix.
Hi.
Yep, and we're back. So we've never done this before. This is a new thing, and it's funny that Casey's not. See, me and you know what? This will be our tradition, Alex. we do the nominating. Like for some reason, Casey just isn't involved in the nominating of the Jimmys. Now,
if he's on the show,
yeah, exactly. He has to be quiet now. Casey came up with the idea to name the Jimmys, so full disclosure. But we have, how many? Four? We have four Jimmy Awards here.
Yep.
And we kind of have them mapped out a little bit, so we're going to kind of show you what we're thinking, and then you can vote for these on Twitter. And I think I'll do a new one. Just check out our Twitter every day, because I think we're just going to have them for 24 hours apiece.
Sure.
So check it out every day, and we'll do them probably starting on Friday or something, just so everyone can get caught up. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, we'll do Friday. That'll be good. So the Jimmy nominations, the Jimmy Awards, these are going to be our listener choice awards, and they're supposed to be comedy, and not necessarily put down awards for games. You know, like not necessarily like just in. You know, because we know here at the Talk Nintendo podcast that a lot of work goes into making video games, and
I don't.
And we don't want to be too negative on these people that are just trying to make a living. So we're gonna make fun of their games this way. So
I got a bone to pick with Pictooie.
Yeah, those loading times. Best. Yeah, I was thinking it'd be funny to put Run Box Run on here for like
just the best game, Run like... Box Run by itself.
Yes. Okay, so Balix, why don't you introduce the first Jimmy Award of 20? So would this be the 2022 Jimmys? I think it is.
Yeah. Okay. The first award we got is Best Gift Game, which as you may sort of take from previous. Times we've mentioned this kind of thing on the podcast. Best game to receive as a gift, which is not the best game. It's
kind of the best game to not waste your own money on.
Exactly. Yes. The kind of thing where if you got it as a gift, it's like, oh, I never would have got this for myself, but I'm glad I got it.
Yep. Exactly. You got it. Right. There you go.
And the four nominees for this are Mario Strikers Battle League, can speak from experience. My Stop Smoking Coach.
Mario Strikers Battle League.
Yep, Fire Emblem Three Hopes, Bayonetta Boom. 3, which wouldn't be eligible, except the reception to Bayonetta 3 has been so universally lukewarm, I feel like, by a lot of people. Not universally, some people like it, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, it's been pretty lukewarm received. Compared to like Bayonetta 2, for example.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And the funny thing is that you can vote for these things. You can vote for Bayonetta 3 because that's your favorite of these games, and there you go. And you can also vote for it because it's your least favorite and it's the best gift game of the bunch.
Yep.
You know, you can take it any way you want.
Sure. And then Triangle Strategy is number 4.
Yeah.
Which I think is like the perfect one for this category.
Yeah, seriously, totally. Yep.
Yep.
Live Alive would have been a good one for me. Just saying.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Anyway, but those are the four. Check it out. That's the best gift game. I love it. Now, the second Jimmy Award, 2022, is this is great. The most Sonic game. No. We should make that something about Yuji Naka, about his arrest. Yuji Naka's arrest. Can you do that? the arrest. No. Insider trading of. Okay.
Great.
Okay. Okay. So our nominees for the most Sonic game are Lunistus. That is that really cool game that I talked about a few months ago or a couple months ago. It's a cool 3D game. It actually is a cool game. We also have Sonic Frontiers. I can see it.
Maybe.
We have the KO, the kangaroo voice acting.
Which, look this up. It is wild.
You know, I wonder if we need to word it as like the voice acting from KO the kangaroo. Anyway, it's great. And then our last is the Grand Theft Insider Trading 5, also known as Yuji Naka's Insider Trading, which I think is really funny. So there you go. Which one of those is the most Sonic game? Have fun with that. I think I know which one's going to win.
Yep. We have best three game, and that is Splatoon 3, Xenoblade 3, Bayonetta 3, and Triangle Strategy.
Get it?
Which is
we need to put parentheses, get it?
Well, because we also had like
Three Hopes. And we had Three Kingdoms from Three Kingdoms, River City Songa.
River City Ransom. Yep.
And so we thought,
speaking of Xenoblade 3, I've been thinking about our game of the year stuff that's happening next week, and I have no idea what we're going to choose as our cumulative best game.
Yeah, it's totally. Like,
you and Casey really like Xenoblade 3. I was lukewarm on it. And then Justin's like a whole other factor where maybe Chained Echoes is going to win for all we know. I have no idea where we're going to land.
Chained Echoes isn't going to win because none of us have played it besides you.
No, but if Justin did, and if he loved it,
then
it ends up on equal footing with Xenoblade. I don't know. But I do think it's like, I'm trying to think, like, would we go Kirby? Would we go Xenoblade? I'm very interested to see what folks say next.
Yeah, we'll see, because I have my thoughts. But anyway, that's the best game with three in the title, or the best three game. There you go. Triangle Strategy. Get it? Because triangle three. Okay.
I get it.
And what's our last one? Bal.
I think it's you. It's best revival of a dead game.
Yeah, best revival of a dead game. this is cheeky. We have House of the Dead remake. Get it? It's a dead game. We have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Pass. Because it's a dead game and it's not necessarily a dead game. We get it. We have FIFA 23 Legacy Edition. That's funny. And then last but not least, we have Splatoon 3.
That one's going to make people mad on the Twitter.
Good. We're turning into one of those podcasts. Just an angry, bitter podcast. That's us, right, Balix?
Yep. I'm pretty bitter.
Oh, yeah. And there you have it. Those are our Jimmy Awards for the year of 2022. So check our Twitter every day. I'll give you the Twitter at the end because it's time for poll time.
Poll results time.
Yep. We got our poll time. It's a survey time this week.
Mm-hmm.
This was because we were slacking on the Jimmies. I sort of had this as a backup Jimmy, but since the Jimmies are happening, we can just use this as poll time for this week. I asked folks, what is the best Nintendo Switch game you've played that came out last year? In other words, what's your Nintendo game of the year for 2022? And we have a bunch of responses. I'm guessing you have the page open. We can just go back and forth.
I mean,
we can just go back and forth.
There's a bunch of them. We might not do
Let's do.
My goodness, there's tons of them.
Let's do three people at a time, and we'll just go back and forth.
Okay, how about good idea. That's great.
All right. Lockjaw said, Pokemon Violet, 2 days after release, me, my brother, my son, and my nephew just sat on the couch for 4 hours and played Pokemon and would periodically stop and trade when someone caught something new. For all its jank, it was the most fun I've had playing a Pokemon since Gold and Silver.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed Pokemon Violet, despite how busted it was.
Despite how much it tried to get in the way of itself.
Despite how unacceptable of a state it is even now. But Pokemon brings folks together. Lockjaw, another one of those people we were talking about in the Discord, like people who like listen to the show and like engage with us, who it's like,
yeah.
I have no idea how old these people are. Knowing Lockjaw has a son is wild to me. Cause
I
like,
love that it's his brother, his son, and his nephew. It's like, I love all the male, like, and my uncle and grandpa and... It's great.
Yeah.
But four guys. There you go.
I thought Lockjaw was going to be like late teens, early 20s. Just it's like the read you sometimes get, which is technically possible. I mean, that's how old you are now. And you have a couple kids.
I mean, I had my first son when I was 12. So anyway, what's next?
All right. Cherry Goblin says Splatoon 3, and Dan from Canada had an interesting one. Tiny,
You missed three of them. Okay.
No, I'm just, it's the order that mine.
That's
says.
Not what mine is. So okay, that's fine. That's cool. Yeah, Dan. All right. Dan says Tinykin.
Yeah, Dan from Canada says Tinykin, which is sort of another like sort of game that people surprisingly like really got into.
Yeah, I need to get that game. I'm waiting for a good sale. Lemonade, Xenoblade 3 is easily the best game of 2022. Plus a little clock ringing there. Dong! Grills Von Sizzle says Xenoblade Chronicles 3 again. And, of course, Estuardo, the sexiest man in Mexico. Advance Wars Reboot. Yeah, still salty that's not out. But really, Splatoon 3 and Live an Evil. But I haven't finished that one yet.
You gotta finish it, Estuardo. That's a great one. Live Alive is great. Ian Matias said, a big fan of Blossom Tales 2, the Minotaur Prince. I think Estuardo was actually talking about that one, if I remember right.
Yeah.
I think he really enjoyed it. Vinny said, loved Triangle Strategy. Triangle Strategy is one of those where like people were either lukewarm on it or like completely loved it.
I agreed. Yeah.
Dominic's... Oh, did I have a third one?
I don't know. You're skipping over stuff, so I
okay. Well, I guess we're just sort of doing what we can. It's
it's
Twitter
fine.
Algorithm, right?
Yeah.
Dominic Spaziri says best Nintendo game, Kirby, best non-Nintendo, Dawn of the Monsters by 13AM Games. I really enjoyed what I played of that. Yeah, that one seems like it sort of came and went.
What a weird game.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I forgot about that, yeah. Kevin Morris and Justin Smith Williams both said Xenoblade Chronicles 3 and one honorable mention of Nier Automata. And did you get we'll keep going here. Sorry. I'll go to Jack Witty says Kirby in the Forgotten Land.
Yep. Marcelo also said Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Fernando posted
said, by the way.
Yep. Fernando also posted a one of three. Umbra Witcher said Neon White, which is a great game. Not actually going to be on my Nintendo list because I played it on Steam Deck. So it's not actually going to factor in my top five, even though it would rank really high.
You could still do it.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be in the Nintendo section of our top five. I wanted to give myself a limit.
Section.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
I'm just kidding. Corey... I know what you're doing. I get it. You want to talk about more games, so you're putting it in a different list.
I also interviewed like one of the people who created the game, so it's like I talked about Neon White plenty. Kind of was
really
of...
you made the game, so it's it's immoral for you to put it on the list. Really is really what you're saying.
Yep. I forget if you mentioned Corey saying Kirby and the Forgotten Lands, but anyways, that's there you go. There's some of the best Nintendo games that people played of last year.
Lots of Xenoblade 3.
Yep.
Which might be my favorite. Who knows?
Maybe.
You're going to find out next week.
We're going to find out, hopefully, as long as Casey doesn't get another damn headache. And seriously. I don't get COVID-20 or whatever. Whatever.
All I'm saying
is
I've had COVID 3 times and I never missed a podcast. Just saying.
Meanwhile, go back to like January 2021.
Yeah. Yeah, I did have some of those for sure. Yeah.
Exactly. It's going to be fun for me to edit this, like 10 minutes of preamble and then, oh boy. Anyways, thank you for writing in.
Nothing.
I'm only going to have to add 2 songs. I think it'll be a quick edit.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you for writing in.
Back in the good old days, I had to write music for this podcast.
Yeah,
so
it's not
talk to me about your complaining. I'm just kidding. You can complain.
It's neither the good days or the old days anymore. So yeah.
Exactly. It's the new bad days.
It's the new bad days. We needed a title for this week.
There you go.
Anyways, thank you for writing in. Listen next week to our Game of the Year podcast. Play Undertale. We're doing Undertale as our next sort of I Demand You. We'll probably be doing that sometime in February at the clip we're doing stuff at. Mm-hmm. But it's a 5 or 6 hour game. Have you picked it up yet?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I think I have bought it on Switch, but I sold it without playing it.
I think it's fairly inexpensive. I think it's like $15.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll pick her up. I'm gonna send out a request code.
to Toby Fox personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're busy not working on your 10-year plan for Deltarune or writing Pokemon music.
Yes. Yeah,
can you send me a Switch code for the game that's in the top 10 eShop games every single week?
Yeah.
I'm excited to do Undertale. I think that's going to be a fun game for us because, like a gift game, it's something you would never pick to play yourselves, but would be a good one to
only
be
when
made
you lose a bet and someone forces you to do it on a podcast.
I'm forcing you to play one of the best games ever made. Sorry. Sorry.
No, I'm saying that's what you're saying, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what's happening, and I'm not saying it's a bad game at all. In fact, it's objectively or subjectively a good game.
I don't know. Whatever. It seems to be. A lot of people like it. I liked it when I played it for the first time last year.
Remember that? That was during mm-hmm. the spell of every single week you having the best game you ever played.
I was going into the backlog.
The Hollow Knight, the Undertale, the.
Although I will tell you,
nothing wrong
it was
with that,
me,
by the way.
It was me playing Hollow Knight last like September, October. That's the reason why like half of my Game of the Year list is indies this year. It was Hollow Knight sort of making me go like, oh,
but you were like a video game bigot. You were totally like a video game racist. Like the indie race,
sleeping on games. But I never hated indies.
Oh, you're just like sitting up there in your palace, like, this doesn't have the production quality that I want.
eating caviar with the Tostitos scoops.
Exactly.
Anyways,
writing
Undertale. Writing my dang books. Undertale is gonna be our next. I demand you.
Love it. Okay.
I demand you. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Talk Nintendo Pod. That's Talk Nintendo.
POD.
You can also support the site that supports our show. That's Nintendo World Report by going to patreon.com/NWR. That's patreon.com/NWR. And that's our show. Get excited. We're doing Game of the Year next week.
Thanks for showing up, Alex.
Of course.
Unlike our other temporary guest.
Yep. As everyone, be safe. Good night.
I'm going to actually say no on that. I'm going to say everyone be, what's the opposite of safe?
Be dangerous.
Be dangerous. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Great pacing. All right. Bye.
Goodbye.
This is a certified Ballot's Classic.
Hey, Jack Black Bowser, do you think I'm gonna do a stinger this week?
I do not.
You thought correct.